We know that many people organize various things in the name of service, but certain ulterior motives or selfishness, if not for the sake of title or publicity, we can see in their minds. If not influence others to bring them into their own religious groups. Do your duty. Do some service to others within your capacity, without any ulterior motive. At the same time, you should not forget to radiate your kindness, compassion, understanding, patience, and tolerance by allowing others to live. This is the correct way to live as real human beings. Otherwise, peace and happiness never prevail in this world.
You can pray 100 times a day asking the heaven to come down peace and happiness. Unless the man develops his mind, it is impossible for us to find out peace on this earth. When you read the United Nations
Charter on Human Rights,
one of the main principles is recorded. Man's mind creates war, and the same mind can bring about peace. Here, they have admitted
what the Buddha has said earlier, Mano Pubbangama Dhamma. Mind is the forerunner. Mind is responsible for everything in this world, all the good and bad thoughts, words, and actions.
You create heaven by cultivating your mind. You create hell here on this earth by polluting your mind. Please remember this. Others are not responsible for that. If there is anybody in this world who can destroy this world, he is neither God nor devil, but human beings. Nor any other living beings who can destroy this world. Man has started already. He is doing this gradually. Here you can understand where we are. We are facing enormous problems in this world. Man is responsible for that. Here, religion is important not only for praying and worshipping and offerings and to perform rites and rituals and ceremonies to glorify, to show that our religion is progressing, number of followers of our religion is increasing. But observe how many cultured human beings are there among those followers. How many people are living as real human beings? Then where is religion? What is the purpose of religion? To create more discrimination, more misunderstanding, to blindfold man by introducing all sorts of unnecessary rites and rituals, by developing certain faith and belief without allowing man to think freely. Then where is religion? We abuse human intelligence.
Is it possible for us to find out the explanation of why man behaves like this? Why the world is filled with evils? Is it possible for us to discover the cause of all human sufferings, anguish, unhappiness, and inequality? Is it possible to find the cause that would produce peace, happiness, and prosperity? Is it possible to find the key to human survival? Why man is not reliable? How he learned all sorts of crooked methods? Why man is confused and unhappy with his numerous problems, why he is always in trouble, why humanity is harassed with so many evils, and why these evils are fast increasing. To avoid from all these unfortunate problems, there is only one solution, that is by introducing a proper religious way of life, but not by challenging or accusing the other existing religions. Our unity, harmony and understanding, these qualities are important for us to live as real human beings, to maintain peace and justice. According to Buddhism, there are four groups of human beings. One who work for himself but not for others. One who work for others but not for himself. One who work neither for his own good or for others. One who work for himself and for the welfare of others. So, one who work for himself and for the welfare of others can find the purpose of life. The purpose of life, from the Buddhist perspective, is not in the hand of a god. After serving others, and by serving himself, by cultivating all the great virtues and humane qualities, when all our mental and physical sufferings are ended, by following a noble life, the purpose of life can be found.
Because death is not the end of our life. Just now I told you, disintegration of metals and elements is called death. Death is the beginning of another life. Everything comes into existence in this world like this. End of another thing produce something else. When something is ended, the formations or the existence is ended, then something else appears. Then we give another name for that. But the ingredients, elements and energies are the same, but take different shape. By considering how we used our ingredients, those who are two-legged today
can become four-legged one in the next birth if they abused this human life. This is the nature of life. If we develop animal nature in our mind, that mind conditions an animal life.
But people cannot understand. They think this is a ready-made one, created by someone at once.
And our duty is to dance according to his tune. But we cannot dance according to our own tune.
And we are the puppets. We are the slaves. We must surrender everything to somebody else. Then where is human dignity? Then what is the use of human intelligence? How can we make use of this human intelligence? No chance. Buddhism never encouraged this kind of belief. Each and every person is responsible for his or her life. our pleasant and unpleasant experience, happy or unhappy experience, fortunate or unfortunate life. We experience, but we are responsible, individually. So if we are ready to accept this responsibility, then we can adjust, we can mold our way of life. Man is not a fallen angel. Man is a rising animal. We are going on developing and developing and cultivating our way of life. We have three characters or nature: animal nature, human nature, and divine nature. Each and every person maintains certain degrees of these three natures or characters. Many human beings live just like animals. Animals also eat, dance, sing. At night time we can see cats and dogs also sing songs, beautiful, but we cannot sleep. They also sing, and they also experience, indulge all the senses. Majority of now human beings also leading a life exactly like those animals. They work, they earn, they eat, they enjoy a little bit sensual gratification or emotional feeling,
and in the end die just like those animals, as unsatisfied human beings, because such good qualities we cannot find in animals. They have only animal instincts, but not understanding. Kindness, compassion,
sympathetic joy, tolerance, patience, understanding, truthfulness, honesty or sincerity, these are the humane qualities. If you cannot find out these humane qualities within this mankind, very difficult to regard them as real human beings. But there are few. Then divine nature, of course, other religions may define this in different ways, but our interpretation is not like that. To us, divine nature means noble way of life, the most respectable, noble, harmless way of life is the divine nature. In our religion, we introduce this as Brahma Vihara. We develop our human mind up to the maximum level by cultivating all the great virtues and the qualities, by maintaining our human dignity and virtues, by observing morality and discipline. We gain or we attain this divine nature. That is noble. Everybody, irrespective of their religion, respect, honor, bow down to such people. That is why we come and pay our respect, pay homage to such great, holy religious teachers like Buddha. There are some others, because they have achieved, they have gained, they have developed their mind up to that maximum level. So if there is any purpose in our life, my dear friends, This is the purpose. Other than that, whatever we gain as purpose, that is uncertain, changeable, in the end create enormous problems and troubles and calamities and miseries. We always complain. When we talk to each other, what do we talk? About our problems and troubles and sicknesses and calamities and misunderstanding and enmity and jealousy and grudge. Unhappiness, miseries, sufferings, worries. These are the things that we experience almost every day. Then why these problems exist? Problems and unsatisfactoriness exist as long as we live. There is no world, there is no any other part of the world in this universe where living beings can exist without facing some of these problems, but here on this earth, as sensual world, this is called sensual world, where people are crazy for sensual pleasure. And that crazy attitude toward sensual pleasure is the main cause of all these problems. The more we reduce, the more we minimize, the more we calm our senses and that crazy attitude, then the more we experience calmness, peace, some sort of happiness in our life, but not fully. Because, according to the Buddha, there are three characteristics in our life or in anything that which come into existence, whether life or otherwise, subject to these three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Anicca,
impermanency in everything, dukkha, unsatisfactoriness.
Elemental side, physical side. Real meaning of dukkha is unsatisfactoriness in everything. It is true. No one can challenge. If not friction, the combinations of elements and matters condition a life, or plants, or many other things. But there is friction. If this friction is not there, there is no existence. Scientists also fully agree with this. So why life becomes unsatisfactory one? Because of this friction. It is natural. Nobody in this world who can stop this, who can change it. This is the nature of existence. Now let us take this body. Why changes take place? Why small children become teenagers? Why youth become elders? Why elders become old? And in the end, why do they die? Because of this friction. By praying to anybody, can you stop this?
In fact, life is a time bomb. At any time, explosion can take place. And we are ignorant of this.
We try to challenge, oh, Buddhism is a pessimistic religion. But this is the truth. Then there is another concept, belief. Many people maintain that there is some sort of eternal entity, substance, which remains forever, introduced as eternal soul or spirit or by giving various names. All these are names. Anatta means unsubstantiality. That means when you define any life, any matter, any element, anything in this world, there is nothing for us to depend on thinking this can remain forever without changing. Subject to this universal law of impermanence, this belief was there for thousands of years amongst the mankind. Various religious groups also try to introduce that, don't worry, there is something to remain as everlasting, permanent, unchangeable. Your duty is to pray and worship and believe. That is enough. Then, atomic theory. First time in the world history, a Buddhist monk who lived in the 4th century, a Mahayana Buddhist scholar, Vasubandhu. He is the one, first time, who mentioned about Paramanu. Paramanu means atom. He explained, there is something called Paramanu or atom. But amongst the various philosophers had a strong belief that this atom is permanent. No one can split it. So they maintained this belief up to the 20th century. But scientists have split it and pointed out this is also impermanent. That is what the Buddha did. The belief that people maintain as permanent soul or spirit, the Buddha has split and point out it is only a concept, a belief. That is what we introduce as anatta. So in life, we can find these three characteristics. Anyone who can understand the real nature of this existence by analyzing according to this impermanency, unsatisfactoriness and unsubstantiality, realization appears in the mind. Otherwise, we always maintain imaginations and belief and faith. Yes, it is not so easy to understand. To understand things, you have to study, you have to investigate, you have to analyze, you have to think, and then you can understand. But religions or religionists try to introduce religion without allowing man to analyze anything, without allowing them to think, because they have their ready-made concept. Hand over to you. These are your beliefs. Came down from heaven. You cannot ask any question. You should not create any doubt because you cannot understand. The Buddha completely rejected this kind of attitude and belief. When you come to religion, don't accept anything by depending on the Buddha or God or anybody else in this world. Depending on your holy books, a message came down from heaven. Don't depend on your traditions and beliefs or imagination. You have a human mind to think. Give a chance to your mind to think. At the moment, you never give this chance. This is the Buddha's way of it. In fact, he did not want to introduce a religion. He wanted to reveal the nature, the truth, and the facts, and the reality for us to understand actually what is happening and why we are here and what we are doing, why we suffer and how to end or how to overcome all our suffering. This is the Buddha's message. This is his purpose. This very clearly he mentions. The purpose of my coming or my message is this, to tell you why you are here and why you are not happy and why you are suffering and to tell you how to get rid of this kind of suffering if you are not happy, if you are cannot satisfy with this life. This is my mission. Later, we have introduced Buddhism in such a way by developing various cultures and traditions and beliefs and rites and rituals and offerings and philosophy, ideologies. So today we are arguing. Also divided. Theravada, Mahayana, Tantrayana, Vajrayana, Dhisyana, Dhatyana, try to glorify. But they do not know actually what they are doing. They do not know what they really believe. Whether they really believe the Buddha's advice or something else. Try to glorify. If not, we try to introduce Chinese Buddhism, Indian Buddhism, Ceylon Buddhism, Thai Buddhism, Japanese Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, and they say Japanese Buddhism is better than the other type of Buddhism. Then some others say, no, Tibetan Buddhism is better than that type of Buddhism. Some others say, no, Indian Buddhism is better because that is the origin. And some others say, Ceylon Buddhism is better because they have recorded the Buddha's teaching. Some others say, Chinese Buddhism is better because Chinese have made Buddhism a world religion. Otherwise, Buddhism never remains as a world religion if Chinese have not accepted Buddhism. For that we have to give them credit. But remember, you have duty to accept, to introduce, to maintain this. For 2,000 years, you maintain this as your cultural heritage, not only as your religion. Chinese culture and Buddhism, these two are interrelated, cannot separate. Whatever Chinese perform as rites and ritual, there is Buddhism. Whenever Chinese perform Buddhism, practice Buddhism, there is Chinism also. Otherwise they cannot practice. It is true. So, Chinese philosophers say, although in China they have accepted some other religions, even today they have not accommodated other religions into Chinese culture. They regarded them as aliens, really. But 2,000 years ago, they have accommodated, embraced wholeheartedly Buddhism as their religion. So it is their cultural heritage. It is your duty to maintain this noble tradition.
Now, let us come back to our subject again. How to find the purpose in our life, or whether there is any purpose. I have told you that in searching the purpose of our life, we are running after mirage, not knowing what this life is and what this world is and the nature of worldly conditions. The Buddha says, Dukkhe loko patitthito. The world is established or situated on dukkha. This is the nature of world. Here world means everything that which exists, whether life or matters or elements, everything. So, without facing unhappiness, unsatisfactoriness, disappointment, we cannot find out a life on this earth or in any world system. Now, this is the nature of existence. Again, Buddhist philosophy explained the world or the universe as vijñapti-mātra or citta-mātra. That means world is nothing but concept. When we analyze scientifically, scientists say the whole universe is nothing but waves or vibration. The same thing explained by the Buddha more than 2,500 years ago. A well-known Western writer, I think he's a poet, says, if all the mountains were books, and if all the lakes were ink, if all the trees were pens, still they would not sufficient to depict all the misery in this world.
Thank you.